The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 456. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. This episode is dropping on December 12th, which is a very important date in my life. On December 12th, 2012, I launched the PVD Cast. Now, it was only one episode per month for a while, and then I eventually worked my way up to two episodes a month and then three episodes a month. So it's gone through a lot of changes since then. And real quickly, I want to just throw it out there that I did not pay attention to the date when I launched. I launched on December 12, 2012, and didn't really notice until like months later that I had done that. So it's just a happy accident. But I have thoroughly enjoyed my journey into podcasting. I've met so many great people. I've had such great memories doing it. And I love doing it, and I'm not going to stop. So I guess I'm going to say here's to another 12 years, so to speak, of me talking to some great creative folks right here on this great podcast. Well, let's talk about my guest for this installment of the PVD Cast. Bridget Leak is an individual that is well known in Cincinnati, Ohio, especially in the theater community. She heads up the No Theater, which is spelled K-N-O-W Theater of Cincinnati, who is doing an actually really cool, interesting new play that just started this past weekend called Die Hard is a Christmas Movie. I don't think I can do justice to tell you what that play is all about, so I'm going to let Bridget tell you about it. But we also sit and chat a little bit about the history of the No Theater. We also talk about the theater scene in Cincinnati. And I even learn a little bit about the theater because that's something that I haven't really dove into. But more and more recently, I've been going to plays and musicals and whatnot. So it's going to be a great episode. I hope you like it. But before we do that, I need to thank a great sponsor of this podcast. And of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. You hear me tell you all the time that they are your one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, comic book supplies, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. I guarantee if you have some gaps in some of your collections, Jeff and the fine folks at World's Greatest can help you fill those gaps. So if you're in the area, you owe it to yourself to stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. But you can also find them online. WGComics.com is a web address, and they're pretty darn active on their Facebook page. Just search for at WGComics. I'd like to thank once again to all of the fine folks down there at World's Greatest Comics. Thank you for the support throughout the years. I truly do appreciate it. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Bridget Leak. Ladies and gentlemen, I am sitting down this evening with Bridget Leak, a member of the No Theater of Cincinnati. And Bridget, how are you this evening, by the way?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Well, let's talk real quick about the No Theater of Cincinnati, okay? And I'm going to, for the listeners, I'm going to spell it for you. It's No as in like knowledge, K-N-O-W. What's the, can you give us a brief history of the theater?
Yeah, so it was actually founded in 1997 by a group of college graduates from Xavier University. And I don't think that they, when they founded this theater company back then, had any idea that it would be the fourth, I say, of the smallest of the big four theaters in Cincinnati. And so it's been remarkable, the transformation it's gone through. Originally, they were performing in storefronts, found spaces. Then we had a little bit of a home in Gabriel's Corner, which in Cincinnati is sort of in a rec room of a church on the corner of Liberty Street. And then, you know, we finally, in 2006, David C. Harriman, who was a great supporter of the theater, ensured that we had a building and got us a building that we've been in. We took occupancy in 2007 and got the building in 2006 and have been making theater on what is now known as Theater Row. So it's Cincy Shakes all the way down the street, and then Ensemble Theater is right next door to us, and then there's us, and then moving in actually on the other side of us is going to be Children's Theater. So it's a beautifully named Theater Row. And like I said, I don't think that these graduates from college thought that this was going to have the longevity that it did. But I think what's made the No so remarkable and irresistible has been the fact that we continue to make new and exciting works of theater. When you come to the No, you're going to see, you can't just go anywhere to see the type of work that we're doing. This season alone, we're doing two world premieres, two regional premieres. We are also the producers of the Cincinnati Fringe Festival. So those was an organization. There was a Cincinnati Fringe Festival and then the No Theater. And we actually joined entities a number of years ago because we realized we were going after similar audiences, wanting to see something a little different, a little weird. And we are definitely the place to go, where if you want to see professional but also cutting edge but also a lot of fun theater, our space is incredibly unique in that we have what's known as the underground bar. And so because the building used to be a taxi repair service, there's a bit of a ramp when you walk into the building and you kind of go a bit more underground. That ramp was actually what the taxis would drive down into, and then they would have hydraulic lifts to do repairs on them. And so we have this giant underground space, which has a cabaret stage that can seat a flexible seating of up to 75 people. And then what I like to joke is the largest physical bar located in downtown Cincinnati. And then upstairs is our 99 seat Black Box Theater that we have, where we get to do a lot of really exciting work.
Well, let's talk a little bit about you and your connection to the No, if we can, before we dive into some of the productions. How did you get involved with the No?
Yeah, so I actually moved to Cincinnati 10 years ago, and I moved here for, I was working at the big theater in town, Playhouse in the Park, and the first show that I ever produced, self-produced, was at the Cincinnati Fringe Festival at the No Theater, and we did it in that summer of 2014, and I've been a 10-year participant of the Cincinnati Fringe Festival. So every year, my husband, Trey Tatum, who's a playwright, writes a play that I then direct, and we've written all sorts of weird, kooky, interactive pieces of theater, and so that was my first introduction. In those 10 years, as I said, I've been an annual participant in the Cincinnati Fringe Festival, but I've also directed for the main stage here at No Theater. I had a play that was in Serials. Serials is our episodic theater party that we do, where every other Monday you get the next 15 minutes of a play. And so my husband and a friend of ours, Paul Strickland, co-wrote a musical called Annie's House of Blank. That musical in the 15-minute, you know, episode sections of a time was so wildly popular that they actually brought it back the following year as a main stage show. And so I feel like I've sort of worked in all iterations of what the No has available to young and emerging artists. And the No has was sort of my introduction to the Cincinnati theater scene. And I'm so glad to 10 years later be at the helm as the producing artistic director of the theater.
You mentioned that you have a few productions that are ready for a world premiere and then a regional premiere. Could you maybe, for the listeners, explain the difference between those two?
Yes. So we have this season, which is my first season that I've curated, we have two world premieres. These are two plays that have never seen the light of day ever. And we get to premiere them to the world here in Cincinnati. And so those two plays are Die Hard is a Christmas movie, which we're getting ready to open on Friday. This is an original play that I commissioned. It's written by AJ Baldwin and Alex Rouse, who are two women, local women playwrights here in Cincinnati, and they're hilarious. And they've written sort of a parody of Die Hard and whether or not it's a Christmas movie. And then the other world premiere that we have this season is a play written by J. Corey Buchner. And again, it's a brand new show. It has never been produced ever. And we get to show it off for the first time ever at the end of our season. In addition to that, we have two what are known as regional premieres. So these are two plays that have never been seen either in the state of Ohio or in the Midwest region or in Cincinnati. And so the first show this season was a play called Camp Siegfried by Bess Wahl. And it's only been produced three times before we produced. It was produced in London and then in New York City, and then a theater in Philadelphia did it. And then we had the regional premiere of that show. The other regional premiere that we're doing is called A Case for the Existence of God by Samuel D. Hunter, who is a famous Oscar-nominated screenwriter. He wrote The Whale starring Brandon Fraser, but he originally started as a playwright, and he has this play called A Case for the Existence of God, and we are actually doing the regional premiere of that show. It hasn't been done in the state of Ohio yet, and so we get to be the first people to, again, show it off for the first time ever to the region at large.
Okay, I still have a follow-up question.
Yeah.
Don't mind, Bridget, because I'm fascinated by this. So, and we are going to talk about Die Hard as a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
But you said that's one of the world premieres. So is it going to be like a traveling show from here on out, and it's going to be hitting a bunch of different cities? Or how does that work for a world premiere?
So for a world premiere, it really is the first time an audience is ever seeing this work of art. And what's difficult for playwrights is you only get the one world premiere, right? After you've written that one world premiere, it can then move on to have additional lives, and different, you know, theater companies might pick it up. But having the world premiere is, for playwrights, this precious thing that they hold. And because once it's out in the world, it's out in the world. And it's no longer a world premiere. It's just a play that gets produced. And so for Die Hard and for Blurreds, we get to showcase these plays for the first time ever. And the hope is, yes, they will have lives beyond that, but these plays started at the No Theater. So if they ever get produced in another theater, if they ever get published, it will say in the opening jacket of the published script, as first seen at the No Theater Cincinnati.
Okay. You know what? Now that makes sense to me. Yeah. I was just thinking of, like, I thought of world, like a world tour, and I get what you mean now. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's really something special then.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's exciting that, you know, these artists are trusting us with their work. Cause again, it is a very precious commodity. And the fact that they're allowing us to be the people to present their work for the first time ever is such a gift.
Okay, well, we've talked a little bit about it, and so let's dive a little deeper into it. You have a production that is, as you mentioned, this weekend kicking off, and this weekend we're recording the 6th and 7th that weekend. It's called Die Hard is a Christmas Movie. So can you give us a brief little summary about this parody, this little tongue-in-cheek production?
So I knew in taking over as the producing artistic director, Cincinnati is not unique in terms of other cities that have sort of the classic holiday offerings. And so in your city or in Cincinnati, we have the Nutcracker, the ballet is producing. We have a Christmas Carol, which is a very traditional sort of holiday show to see. There's another theater in town that does their holiday show called Every Christmas Story Ever Told. And when I took over, one of my first thoughts was, well, how can the no theater get in on the holiday spirit of really of making coming to the no part of your holiday practice? And so I reached out to these two local women playwrights, AJ Baldwin and Alex Rouse, and I said, hey, would you be interested in writing a play for me? The title is Die Hard is a Christmas Movie, because I think that's one of the great debates is that, you know, Die Hard is an action movie, but it's set at Christmas time. It's a holiday party at the tower that he ends up going to, where he meets his wife. And there's Christmas music and there's snow throughout the entire show. But I think there are the diehards, forgive the pun, who love this show, this movie, and watch it every year at Christmas time. And then you have the non-believers who are like, no, it's just happens to be set at Christmas time, but it's not a Christmas movie. So when I went to Alex and AJ and I said, hey, the title of the show is, I don't care what you write, but the title is Die Hard is a Christmas Movie. And they jumped at the chance to write essentially a parody. So it's this wonderful, you know, I think we're in love with the 80s and 90s. There's a bit of a resurgence, a bit of a zeitgeist happening. And the idea, the conceit of this play is Dad, it's actually Die Hard, the movie is actually based on the book. And the idea for our show is Dad has just been on the book tour for this, you know, for Die Hard. And the movie is right now has just finished filming. And he's been doing these press tours and he's finally coming home for Christmas. And his children, if you remember, they make a brief appearance in the movie. His children have sort of decided they're going to parent trap their parents, meaning they're going to use the ideas from Dad's book, the sort of the plot of Die Hard, the book, the movie, as a way to get their parents back together again, because their relationship's been on the rocks because Dad's been on this press tour. So they hire a bunch of local actors, because it's set in LA, to essentially kidnap their mom on Christmas Day to kick off the events of Die Hard. So there's enough like self-references and a lot of Easter eggs. If you're a Die Hard fanatic, you're going to catch all those things. But if you've never seen the movie or it's been a long time since you've seen it, it is ultimately a story of two kids who want to get their parents back together in time for Christmas and like the reality of butting up against that. And so it's a fun time no matter where you are in the belief system of whether or not Die Hard is a Christmas movie or not. As I like to tell people, we accept both faiths here in the theater. You can be a believer or you can be a non-believer, but both faiths are accepted.
You know, I want to admit to something. I just went to A Christmas Carol last weekend, actually, here in Columbus. You were mentioning those, and I will say this real quickly. It was a fantastic production, by the way, just as a side note. But back to talking about Die Hard, how was it working with Alex and AJ, or did you have a lot of input into the script, or was it just them go?
That I really just like let them go. And then the nice thing is both of these women have written for the No Theater before. And so AJ wrote a piece. She actually submitted it to Fringe and the script got pulled out of Fringe because someone on staff recognized the script is so good, we should just produce it. And it was a play called The 20 Fall. It was set in a convenience store and we premiered it a number of years ago. And then Alex has been writing serials. She's also been in a bunch of Fringe shows, and she actually had a show in Serials, again, the episodic theater party that we do, where you write 5-15 minutes at a time. She and her partner co-wrote a musical that we ended up producing coming right out of the pandemic called All's Fair, and we did it as sort of a traveling show that we produced in parking lots and in outdoor spaces. And so both of these women are incredibly strong writers. AJ is great at character development and plot, and Alex is so stinking funny. They're both brilliant, but they both have strengths. And so what's great about them is they're both playing with each other's strengths and relying on the other person. And, you know, Alex is really good about creating characters with fun quirks and personalities that you sort of come to love, but both of them write with a lot of heart. And so, like I said, it's a comedy, it's an action movie. These women are writing explosions, and then we're staging them on stage. I mean, it's a wild ride, but it's so much fun. And ultimately, the show has a lot of heart. But really, the thing that I did was I felt like I sort of put all the right people in the room. And so the director for this show is a woman named Tatiana Godfrey, and she's actually a dramaturg. And what a dramaturg, I mean, she has a degree in this. I'm going to sort of do the bastardized explanation of it, but essentially dramaturg is a person who studies the structure of plays, and then as a person in the room, as a play is being developed, can give notes and guidance on how the play should be shaped moving forward. And so knowing that Tatiana had this really strong dramaturgical background and working on a new play and having her be the director, I knew that her eye was going to help guide the rewrites as these women were writing the play. And then the other thing that Tatiana Godfrey, I mean, she is just a badass all around. She's a director, she's a dramaturg, but she also is an improviser. And so she ended up casting four of the funniest local Cincinnati actors and improvisers, knowing that this play was going to rely on sort of big character acting, a lot of sort of pratfalls and goofy bits. And so it was really getting all of the right people in the room that I think was the formula for having the show be such a success and selling incredibly well.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Bridget for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, comic book supplies, you name it, they got it. So, you should stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And you could check them out online. Just look for at WG Comics on Facebook or stop by their website, which is WGComics.com. So how long from start to finish did it take to produce Die Hard as a Christmas movie?
Yeah, so I asked them if they would write me a holiday show in July when I was hired. And they had a first draft to me. I think first draft was due at the beginning of November. And then we went to rehearsals shortly thereafter. So there was like, they had like a first draft that was due a little bit earlier. I think it was like middle of October. And then a production draft that was due. And once the production draft was turned in, it was like, hey, you can't make any changes to the elements of design in the play. So anything that affects set, light, sound, costume, or props, you really can't change. You can change lines, you can change bits, but like ultimately the designers who have hired, they need to start going off and designing the show, because in the background, as you're in rehearsal, you know, the show is being built, sets, like, you know, flats are going up, carpenters are being, you know, brought in to paint the set. So there's a lot of moving pieces. So I asked them to write the show in July. They brought me a draft in November, and we're getting ready to open it on, we've been in tech all last weekend, and we have a preview tomorrow night, and then we open on Friday.
Well, let's talk about the rest of the dates, because as I recall, you have it pretty much on the schedule for almost the entire month of December, correct?
Yeah. So the nice thing is we do 13 performances. And so we open December 6th and then we close December 22nd. And so the hope is that if you're trapped with your loving family or maybe a family you want to get away from, you can bring them or not to the show as your home for the holidays.
Okay. So it's going to be running, as you said, from the 6th to the 22nd. where can folks get tickets or find out information?
Knowtheatre.com. So KNOWTHEATRE. We're fancy like that. .com to find tickets. All of our tickets are incredibly affordable. That's one of the things we really pride ourselves on. And if you want to try us out and you've never been to a show before, we have this program called Welcome Wednesday, which is a sponsored program where you can walk up at the box office and get a free ticket. We save half of the house. You can reserve online for $15 tickets, or you can walk up day of and do a pay what you can for those Wednesday night performances.
Okay, cool.
We also have an Industry Monday. And the reason we have an Industry Monday is because all of the other actors in town who are doing a Christmas Carol or the Nutcracker, traditionally in theater, Mondays are our days off. And so we're doing a show on Monday so that people who are either in the food service industry or in the theater can actually see their cohorts on stage.
Oh, that's cool. That's the I assume that's a normal thing that happens in the acting world.
Performance. Every now and then you'll see a Monday night performance, but I was really committed to the fact, I mean, we have a really great food scene here in Cincinnati, but if you work in the restaurant business, you know your only day off is Mondays. Like, you are slammed on the weekends. And the same thing for actors, our day off are Mondays. So I was like, what a great opportunity to reward the people who work the hardest by offering them a chance to go out and enjoy their evenings as well.
Yeah. And they get to see, because obviously they're working on their own projects or whatnot.
Yeah.
may have to unfortunately skip it. And we don't want that. Definitely don't want that. All right. So a couple more questions with you, Bridget. And the one, I guess, that we got to ask, since we're talking about the topic, in your humble opinion, is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
I am a lover of Die Hard, and there is nothing, I will stand by this. I think that the first three movies are a perfect trilogy. They are beautiful. I think the third one might be slightly better than the first one. I know, controversial hot take. There's something about the action sequence tied into the holiday sequence that I just love so much. And so I am the person who, I will watch Home Alone. I will watch Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, but I am also the person who's watching Die Hard over my winter break as well.
I saw a recent tweet that somebody put out there that, you know, First Blood takes place at Christmas time. So maybe it could be a Christmas movie.
Yeah, I had someone try to sell me on the idea that Princess Bride was a Christmas movie.
No.
And I was like, no way. And they were like, no. If you go back, the little kid, like, he's home at sick in bed and his grandfather's reading him the story. There's like a Santa Claus like cut out on his window. And when he opens up the blinds, all the other houses have Christmas lights on them. And I was like, yeah, I'm not buying that one. But I think there's a pretty strong argument for Die Hard. And the closing song of Die Hard is, oh, the weather outside is frightful. Like, it is, I don't know. I'm going to stand by it. I'm a believer.
Okay. All right. There you go. Speaking of the holidays, you know, we have so many plays, TV shows, movies, et cetera, celebrating Christmas. Do you have some favorites besides Die Hard? I assume Home Alone is a favorite of yours since you mentioned it, as well as Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, I mean, those are my favorite of the movies. Coincidentally, I'm also the director of the Christmas Carol that we do here in Cincinnati. So Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park does the annual Christmas Carol, and this is the second year that they've done this new version because they got their brand new theater, and I'm actually the director on that play. So it's nice to that show is already open, they've already been selling, but I got to work on Christmas Carol, the classic, and now I'm back at my theater where I get to work on the sort of little more risque holiday offering.
So, you know what, speaking of that real quickly, you know, you've mentioned that the No Theater is, I guess you could say, known, no pun intended, for, you know, having avant-garde material. Has that ever caused controversy in the community?
Oh my God. So yes, it has. And I say that because we did a play many, many years ago. It was one of the first plays that The Note produced, and it was a play called Corpus Christi. And it is a very controversial play. And it was so controversial that we received bomb threats and death threats because of the portrayal of the characters in the play. We wow. had the Catholic community protesting outside our production. So yeah, we've definitely done shows where it has incited some anger or some rage, or been maybe a little risque. But I think that's the fun part of doing theater, right? You get to see something that maybe scares you or electrifies you, or you're not quite sure what to think. And I think that's the exciting thing that theater can do.
Would you say that seeing a variety of different productions, would that be the best part of seeing a show at The No? Or is there something else that makes it such a great place?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're interested in seeing, you know, original works as well, I mean, that's the one thing that we get to offer, because we're not working with, you know, Playhouse in the Park, their budget, I mean, they're working with a couple of $1 million on each show. I'm working with a very small budget. So if my shows don't do well, or if it's a world premiere, but it doesn't sell, you know, hundreds and thousands of tickets, I'm still going to survive. And so I think the thing is, because we're a small enough theater, we have the opportunity to take really big risks and don't have to, if, you know, if the Playhouse takes a really big risk and they lose a lot of money, that really hurts their bottom line. And they have a lot of people they have to report to on why that show did not do well. For me, I'm just a tiny little scrappy theater company. So if we can take, we get to do a holiday offering like Die Hard, which is going to sell a lot of tickets and be wildly successful. But then I also get to take a risk on a play that's just a two-person play, and it's this beautiful little love story about being a father. And that play might seem dangerous or risky to do, but I am afforded the luxury of being able to take those risks, because I'm not working with such a big staff, I'm not working with such a big budget, and so I have the opportunity to do new works, different works, unique pieces that maybe other theater companies might be afraid to tackle. I get the luxury of getting to do those plays. And so I think for The No, if you're interested in new works or seeing something that you aren't going to see at any other theater in town or in the region, I think The No is the place that you're going to find your people, but also the stories that you love.
Okay, well, I have a final question for you, Bridget, but yeah. Let's run down one more time where folks can find information on Die Hard, on The No Theater, social media, website, all that good stuff.
Yeah, we are knowtheater.com, KNOWTHEATRE. And we are on Instagram, we are on Facebook, we are, I don't think we're quite as present on TikTok as maybe we should be, but we are on all of the socials, and we're located in Over the Rhine in Cincinnati. So if you're ever in town or swinging on through, you should definitely come check us out. It's a lot of fun in this space here.
Cool. Well, if you only had one theater production to see for the rest of your life, which one would you choose and why?
Yeah, I think I'm really going to promote Blurreds, which is the show that we're doing at the end of the season. It is it's a world premiere. It's by J. Corey Buchner, and it's the story of three middle schoolers who decide they're going to play hooky from school because they're going to go across town to, well, they're skipping school to go to Comic-Con. And they're going to Comic-Con because the word on the street is Samuel L. Jackson is going to show up, the greatest Jedi ever in their universe. And so they decide they're going to skip school, cut across town, and meet their idol. And ultimately, the story is about, you know, the world is not safe for three young Black people, but it's made even more dangerous by the fact that this play is set in the early 2000s, and it's set in DC when the DC sniper was active. And so it's set, the play is a quest, is a voyage, and there are dangers, but the dangers are sort of monsters and mythological figures. characters that the kids encounter as they are cutting across town, but the backdrop is a really real dangerous person out there who is armed. So again, it's a story that's told in the style of a quest, but with very real consequences. And it's such a beautiful story. And Blurds, for those of you who don't know, is a mashup of the word black and nerds, and people identify as being blurds. And we're very excited to be getting the opportunity to premiere this play here in our theater. I think it's going to be a wonderful story. We're so excited to tell it. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of great visuals to go along with the quest.
And that is in April, correct?
When you're going to premiere? Yes. So we're doing that at the end of April. So it's going to be a great time.
What else do you have on the schedule as well? I know that you have, Fringe Fest in the summer, correct? So, it's in June?
Yeah, so we have one more show. After Die Hard closes, we have Case for the Existence of God, which is by Samuel D. Hunter. It's a love story about two very different dads, but both bonding over the fact that they're raising 15-month-old girls, and that's sort of the thing that brings them together. And then we have Blurds in April, and then the first 2 weeks of June is the Cincinnati Fringe Festival, which is the summer theater party here in Cincinnati. It is 14 days of nonstop theater, dance, improv, stand-up, storytelling. We're a juried fringe, meaning that we just received all the applications and we're now reading through them. And then we assign them to juries, and they rank each play or each musical group on a scale. And then we pick the best of the best to promote and premiere here at the Cincinnati Fringe Festival. So over the course of those 2 weeks, we'll have 34 individual theater companies or dance companies or film companies that are all presenting their works over the course of 14 days. Every day the schedule is a little different, but on the week, so most weeknights you can see two or three shows depending on what path you take. And then on the weekends, on a Saturday, you can see up to six shows, six completely different, wild, brand new pieces of performance art, which is a lot of fun.
Excellent. Sounds like the No Theater is got so much on their docket and is definitely going to have a lot of success over these next few months, from Die Hard all the way up into summertime. So Bridget, you guys got to be thrilled to have all of this ready to go and on your plate, so to speak.
Yeah.
Well, Bridget, with that, I want to thank you very much for sitting down and chatting with me.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're quite welcome. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Bridget Leek, talking about the No Theater and, of course, their production, Die Hard is a Christmas Movie. And look, if you get the opportunity and you happen to be in the Cincinnati area, you should stop by the No Theater and catch a show. I know that Bridget ran down the schedule and just checked out their website and see if there happens to be something going on when you happen to be in the area. I know that all the talented folks down in Cincinnati will greatly appreciate your patronage of the arts. And with that, I think it's time for me to tell you where you can get a hold of me if you have a question about this episode or any episode for that matter. Well, you can shoot me an email if you like. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is my email address. I'm still on X or Twitter or whatever it's called. Just look for my handle, which is @PVDMVP. You can even leave me a message over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads accounts. Just look for @PVDcast. Now, maybe you want to let some folks know about this great podcast. Well, there's a bunch of different ways that they can hear it. First of all, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly and the best place to get every single episode of this beloved podcast. But it's also available through all those major podcasting outlets. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcasting outlet, put in the search bar PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And of course, if you're using one of those apps or outlets, please rate and reviewing. It's very important for me, and it's very important for all podcasters so that those particular outlets and apps know that you are listening. So a quick, easy 5-star rating and then a quick little sentence or two about how much you like the show would be very, very helpful, and I would appreciate it a lot. And don't forget as well that you can subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. Well, there is a third and final way that you can catch every single episode, and that's every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where I do a little live broadcast through the Facebook page. So there's three easy ways to hear this show: PVDcast.com, through your favorite outlet or app, and of course, through the Facebook page, once again on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for me to get on out of here. I want to thank you once again for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2024.